If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In the name of Jesus the Lord, amen. As Professor Burrison mentioned before the service began, this service belongs to the end of the church year. And I mean for this sermon to honor that fact. But the gospel lesson just read makes that a little complicated. The church year, you might say, is a microcosm. I don't mean microcosm in that technical sense used sometimes by philosophers and theologians, but rather in the wider sense that I think you're all familiar with. A microcosm is some part, something that reflects or represents the whole. For those of you looking forward to creeds and confessions next term, you will get to read the epitome, which is a microcosm of the solid declaration. If you are already in the first year Introduction to Systematic Theology course, you will have learned about the Christian story of everything, the Christian account of God and his creation. And how did you learn it? Not by having to read the whole Bible five times, but by concentrating on certain summary passages, like Nehemiah 9 or Peter's Sermon on Pentecost. Those are microcosms. The creed is not just a microcosm. For Christians, it is the microcosm. It is a summary. It is in a nutshell. It is in miniature. The confession of God and all that he has made. In the same way, the second article of the creed is a microcosm, the microcosm of God and his government of the universe that he has made from the first coming of Jesus to his second coming. The church year is a microcosm in that sense, and in precisely the same way that the second article of the creed is a microcosm. It embraces and it reflects God and his government of the world in and through Jesus Christ from his first coming to his second coming. And if the church year is a microcosm, then you might say that the gospel lessons are a microcosm of the microcosm, because they are, in an even finer, smaller nutshell, to represent, to reflect what God is doing in and through Jesus Christ from his first coming and to his second coming. Again, this service belongs to the end of the church year, and this sermon aims to honor that fact. But our gospel lesson makes that a little challenging. Following the gospel lessons, the church year began with Jesus going into Jerusalem. The church year ends with Jesus going out. The church year begins with Jesus meeting crowds who are praising God for the mighty works they had seen. The church year ends with Jesus being followed by crowds, including many women who are weeping, who are mourning, who are lamenting because Jesus is about to be crucified. The church year begins with shouts of acclamation. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The church year ends with shouts of a different kind. Mockery, taunts. If you are the King of the Jews, why don't you save yourself? How is this the end of the church year? Well, to get at this, you have to dig a little deeper. You have to pay closer attention. And we will do that And you will see how it matters for the end of the church year, how it matters for the kingdom to come, and also how it matters for you. But first, turning to this passage, if you look a little harder, if you think a little bit about it, you will notice, you should notice, something like this. Things are bad, but things will get worse, a lot worse. There's Jesus trudging off to his death, and there are women behind him weeping, wailing, mourning, lamenting, and Jesus notices, and Jesus has to say something. But what does he tell them? Don't waste your tears. Don't waste your cries on me. Keep them for yourselves. Keep them for your children. Look, I tell you, the days are coming when women who have never given birth will be called blessed. Blessed are the wombs that never bore, the breasts that never gave, that never nursed anyone. Now, barrenness in those times was a mark of shame, a sign of disfavor. But the days were coming when that would be a sign of blessing. It would be so bad that you would cry out, that the mountains would fall on you and the hills would cover you. Look, Jesus tells them, if this is what God is permitting, if my death is what God is permitting, this is what, like burning up green wood. Well, what will happen when the wood is dry? Things are bad, but things will get worse, a lot worse. Next, we have Jesus being crucified. And as the Roman soldiers are crucifying him, what does Jesus do? He prays, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Yeah, things are bad, but things will be worse, a lot worse. And so Jesus prays for their forgiveness. Then we have Jesus on the cross. And here the rulers of the people taunt him. Hey, look at him, the Christ of God. Roman soldiers join in. If this is the King of the Jews, he might as well try to save himself. One of the criminals joins in as well. Save yourself and us. But the other criminal, remarkably, recognizes who Jesus really is. He recognizes that things are bad, but things are going to get worse, a lot worse. You see, for reasons about which the gospel is ruthlessly silent, here we have a man who recognizes and acknowledges that Jesus really is the King of the Jews, that he really is the Christ of God, that he really is the Lord of all, that he is the Son of the living God. And crucifixion is not going to stop him. He may die, but he will come back. And when he comes back, there will be hell to pay. And these people here, the rulers who are taunting him, the soldiers who are mocking him, that other criminal, they will be the first to go. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Things are bad. Not just for Jesus, but for this criminal. But he knows things will get worse, a lot worse. And he wants Jesus' grace and mercy. So you look at this text, you look at this passage, and Luke clearly brings out, things are bad. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is a bad thing, but things will get worse, a lot worse. That's one thing that comes out of that. But the other that comes out of it is that for those who look to Jesus, those who confess Jesus, those who trust in Jesus, those who believe in Jesus, things will get better. The criminal asked Jesus to be remembered when he would come into his kingly power and reign. Somehow, He knew already that Jesus would return. He will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom would have no end. And for him, that might not be good news at all. But he wants to be remembered. And Jesus promises that. And even more, Jesus does him one better. Not only to be remembered when he would come into his kingdom, when he would come again in glory, but today you will be with me in paradise. In Luke's gospel, when something like that, today, Samaritan, is said, it means today. When Jesus is in his hometown synagogue, and he reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor," Jesus says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." When he goes to the house of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and Zacchaeus repents and believes, Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Just before he was betrayed, Jesus tells Peter, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And Jesus then tells this criminal, this man who is about to die, and who knows he faces the prospects of eternal damnation, not only that he will be remembered when the kingdom comes in all its glory, but even today, he would share fellowship with Jesus. The technical term for this is intermediate state or interim state, and that's not important to know, but the idea of the intermediate state is not an important one or not a major topic in the New Testament, but it is worth noting that it comes out most clearly with two bad people. The one is this criminal, and the other is St. Paul. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul says it would be better to depart and be with the Lord. But Paul used to be Saul, the one who persecuted the church. Now, we all know that Paul was big on, strong on, the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. But he, too, also took heart in being in the presence of the Lord, even just after death. So what does this all mean? For those who look to Jesus, for those who confess him, for those who trust in him, for those who believe in him, for those who want to be remembered when he comes into his kingdom, for those who want to rise in glory, for those who look for life everlasting, Jesus promised it for you. Things will get better, a lot better. Now, the idea that things are bad and they can get worse isn't just part of the, Christian story of everything. It might also be part of your lives. It might be part of the lives of your family or friends. For those who go into the service of the church, it might be part of congregations and ministries that you belong to. Sometimes, even in this life, things are bad and things get worse. One doesn't have to wait till the return of Jesus to see how bad things can get. Things can get pretty bad even in this life. Jobs can be lost. Marriages can fail. Friends can abandon you. There can be sickness and injury. There can be loss, destruction, poverty. And for that matter, just the push and the shove of everyday life can grind on you, can wear you down and wear you out. Things can get bad, and things can get worse. And so, whether the prospect is your eternal destiny, and you should all be concerned about that. Or the prospect is your life in this world, which you should also be concerned about. Yeah, the idea that things could get bad, things could get worse, matters. But for all of you who believe in Jesus Christ, for all of you who confess that Jesus is Lord, for all of you who believe that God raised him from the dead, I am here in the name of Jesus to tell you, you will be saved. Things will be better, a lot better, just as they were and will be for that criminal on the cross. So it will be for you. And that's the way the end of the church year should go. When Jesus comes back in glory, you will be remembered. When Jesus comes back in glory and judges the living and the dead, you will be counted among his followers. When Jesus comes back and establishes the kingdom that will have no end, you will live in it and under it in peace and blessedness. That is better, a lot better, and that is yours. In the name of Jesus the Lord, amen.